So my boss is up here. Did you hear that?
Oh, indispensable.
Two more minutes and I will.
All right.
So are there any citizen comments? Seeing none, we'll move on. I have no reports to any committee members. All right, then we'll move on to the minutes of February 13th.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion, corrections? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Our next item is Public Works Transfer Agreement. Was that yours? Joe, okay.
Good evening, Supervisors. You may recall, we actually dealt with this as part of the budget last fall. This is a proposal by which we are going to be transferring a portion of County Trunk Highway H from 52nd Street to 65th Street from the county to the city. As part of that transfer, we are going to be installing a traffic signal at the intersection of County Trunk Highway H and 65th Street. That has been budgeted for in the 2019 budget, and as I say, we actually approved this in the 2019 budget. It is back before you because the city took enough time trying to get their end of things put together that by the time they were ready to proceed with it, there were two what I consider to be very technical, almost in the nature of Scrivener's errors, changes that they wanted made in the agreement that we had already approved. And rather than run any risk of somebody saying that we were approving different things or whatever, I thought we'll just bring it back to the board for approval. The two changes that got made from the version that was approved last fall were, number one, originally there was language in there that indicated that the transfer was going to occur at the later of either December 31st, 2023, or 5 years after the installation of the traffic signals. Obviously, the 2023 date is no longer relevant because it will clearly be later than that. And the city attorney's office expressed some concern that if that date was still in there, people would wonder why it was there because it was moved and so forth. The other one was that the version that we approved last year made reference to two exhibits, one being the map, one being the legal description, and the city combined them into one, so there's now only one exhibit. Those are literally the only changes in the agreement from the one that we approved as part of the budget.
Yes.
So we're going to install a traffic light. Is that going to go over there to the city?
Yes, that will also be part of their responsibility.
Okay, so and they will have the responsibility of that traffic light
yes.
as well as the road.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, and that's explicitly laid out in the agreement.
In 5 years.
Yes.
Well, whenever it's done, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, this track is going to go in right away. The road right. goes 5 years.
Correct. Their responsibility will hit when they take the roadway.
Move to approve.
This was no easy process, I can tell you that.
Second.
All right, discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
You're going to stick around for the meeting, Joe?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. We'll move on then to the next resolution, which is an easement. Thank you.
Yeah, this is a resolution to approve an easement for We Energies. We need to increase the electrical capacity at restroom number 5 at Pets. So they're going to run a line from the shop to the restroom to provide additional
move
service.
To approve.
Second.
Discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll circulate this. The next item is a sheriff's resolution on acceptance of overtime money, correct? Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. It's hard to follow Mr. Kupfer's fantastic professional delivery.
Mark Politic.
Wow. Was that a slam? Or?
I gotta bring my fire boots back.
The Sheriff's Department is requesting that we do a budget modification and receive the Federal Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force, known as OSADEF, a $25,000 grant for our OSADEF investigations, January 19 to September 19. The funds will be used to reimburse our detectives in the overtime overtime for our detectives to do OSADEF-related cases.
Is this something you get every year?
Multiple years we've been in OSADEF organization.
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And this did pass the judiciary law, too?
Yes.
Yes.
And then there's another sheriff's resolution, again, it's George Grant. Go ahead.
I have four, and I don't know which one you want me to go to. So my agenda says I'm going on to a different one.
Yeah, criminal history.
Criminal history?
Yeah. Yes.
Mr. Gentz will know this one pretty well. We're requesting...
Wait a minute. Not because I have a criminal history.
So you said.
Do you?
No.
Our current, the district attorney wanted us to have an automatic interface from the records management system that Joint Services manages for both the police department and the sheriff's department to the district attorney's software. This grant was awarded by the Department of Justice. The sheriff's department had to be the agency that administrated the grant. It's for $19,200 to cover the cost of that interface. The interface has been installed. There was a 10% local match, which we took care of with salaries of sheriff's department personnel. We're requesting a budget modification and receipt of this grant.
Discussion?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion on the motion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Check mark.
The next one is the drug traffic.
This grant is a grant from the state of Wisconsin Department of Justice. It's administrated through the Racine Sheriff and the Southeast Area Drug Operations Group, known as the CDAW Group. It's managed through the Racine Sheriff's Office. Our piece of this grant is $10,000 for equipment to support the drug unit operations. Again, it's a long-term, many-year grant that we've received, and it was approved at Judiciary and Laws Committee on Tuesday.
Move to approve.
Second. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Your final one.
The other side of that CDAW consortium is a $211,000 multi-county consortium in that CDAW group. The Kenosha Sheriff's Department, part of that is $53,140 for our expenses in the CDAW drug arena work. Again, a multiple year grant and approved by the committee on Tuesday.
All right, discussion?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, it passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we come to now to number 12, the resolution on fees, open records. Discussion, and I thought I saw the, perhaps I'll call on you as maker of the proposition.
I do have a few things to pass around. The first one is the fee schedule that the Wisconsin Department of Justice released. And there should be enough for the argue to have one if they so wish. And the second is essentially their release saying fees should be adjusted at the local level. That they've done math, this, that, the other. And then those are alternated, so you guys feel free to grab one of those.
I see.
Okay.
So I guess more so than anything, I'm here to answer any questions that the committee may have and kind of give I'll start with the background why I chose to pursue this. When the Wisconsin DOJ Office of Open Government released this past summer in August, it was guidance towards the local governments throughout the state that it may be time to reevaluate their fees and what they're charging as to comply with the Wisconsin state statutes that state or municipalities are not allowed to make a profit off of providing open records requests. They did do all the math. They went through it. There's a whole big explanation of how they got their math that I can get to the committee members if they so wish. I can email that to you guys. But so they took this, they went through everything. I mean, what does a ream of paper cost? What does toner cost on average? What does a CD cost on average? And these numbers is what they have found to be the most accurate and encouraging municipalities to adopt these.
Zach, this is the fee schedule?
That's the fee schedule that they released with their guidance.
All right. Can you just briefly run through that to highlight it?
Yes. So the biggest thing I would see as one of the biggest things is the hard copy request. When somebody comes in and requests an open records request, they want records from, you know, whether it be personnel or what have you. Currently, most municipalities throughout the state charge 25 cents a sheet. What this would lower it to is approximately 1 cent a sheet for a black and white and 6 cents a sheet for a color copy. And that is because it doesn't cost 25 cents a sheet to print and make a reproduction of the public records. The other thing that I think is, it's not so big on this sheet, but it says paper to digital. I think in today's environment that, you know, that we're living in, oftentimes records are digitized. And currently, the common practice, to my understanding, is from after being digitized, they are then printed into a hard copy, whereas this is suggesting keep it digitized, email it to whoever's requesting it, and then there is no cost with that. And I know I talked to a few of you guys and talked with constituents about the cost of labor. There is guidance on that, and generally speaking, you cannot charge for the cost of labor it takes to recreate records and produce a public records request, and so I think that's huge. But then it goes down, I trust all of you guys can read DVDs, flash drives, digital to digital, and then it does have there on there, because after a certain standpoint you can't charge, if it were to be a big request, what a manpower would be after, I believe, $50.
So this is recommended by the Attorney General's office.
Correct, and this is what, when they did their math, and again, I can get you, I don't have that with me tonight, I can get you with how they found their math, but this is on average that what they say is the cost of a sheet of paper, a thumb drive, a CD, this, that, and the other.
Sorry.
Yeah.
What does it actually cost us here in Kenosha County, forgetting about all this, I want to know what it costs us.
I've been trying to get those numbers for several months. I haven't been able to do that. Have talked with the Corp Counsel office and with IT. It is my understanding that they've been working on it for several months. I have received nothing. Even I did reach out to IT and talk with them, and I did ask, you guys have been working on something for quite some time. Are there any numbers that you can show to that? And they were not able to do that.
Terry?
Yes.
I come in and I want a copy of something in the clerk's office. You're saying one copy, what do I do? Give them a penny when I want it or something? Is that what you're telling me? So if I want one copy, they get, I think.
That's what the state is recommending.
So what, we've been breaking the law all this time, somebody has never said what you're saying. So how do we get this town to, everyone understands what it is? That's the biggest problem once we do it. Because, you know, everybody's got a cop, everybody's got what they do right now. I don't know what everybody does.
Well, I don't think that would be so hard to implement. I think this is pretty black and white, this sheet that says, you know, okay, somebody comes in and they want a black and white sheet. I mean, it's on here as this is what, if this were to pass, this is what we're charging now. We did adopt these fees through planning. We were able to do that through planning and development. And when we asked staff approximately what that cost was, to answer Supervisor Vicky's question of a black and white sheet, for example, it was 1 cent. That was the number that they provided as the cost to the county.
Okay, but I guess what I'm saying is that we might as well just say one copy. But we're not going to charge a penny, somebody a penny. I mean, that's ridiculous.
If the clerk decides then I'm going to waive a fee as they're allowed to statutorily, so be it. I would encourage it.
Here's a copy, yeah.
But if the clerk or whoever is the keeper of those records decides I am going to charge the 1 cent for your one copy, then within the law, they're allowed to do so.
Seems to me what we got to do is we got to get one policy and get it to everybody and have everybody implement at the same time. We can't have one, because if we don't do that, if we don't reach every corner, we're gonna have everybody still doing their.
Well, if this was adopted as an ordinance and added to Chapter 3.64, is what specifically talks about public records in our ordinances here. That's what would go out, is that would go out to all of our department heads and I mean, that would be the law. This is what Kenosha County has decided to adopt, and this is what Kenosha County is going to charge for these public records.
Is this what the state charges?
The state, actually, their common practice at the state DOJ is to waive fees. They encourage it.
Is what?
Waiving fees.
Yeah. All right. So I have a few questions. What really precipitated this? I mean, what do we have a, have we had complaints? What's the deal? What?
The biggest thing for me was the state coming forward and saying the state has received multiple complaints throughout the state. We've been asked for guidance from multiple municipalities. This is our guidance.
Okay.
And what essentially, it's my understanding, and I forget the name, you'll have to forgive me, of the attorney I spoke to at the DOJ over the summer, is he was stating that essentially, if someone were to come in to Kenosha County and get, even if it was 1 cent, they could file suit against the county saying the county is violating the law if we can't prove that that one copy costs us 25 cents, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, through the chair to Corp Counsel, I mean, is this a law that we have to follow?
The fee schedule?
Yeah.
The fee schedule is not a law.
We're not going to get sued no matter what we charge, right? Well, unless we're charging $5 a copy.
What the law calls for is that we are permitted to recoup the actual necessary and direct costs of reproduction. Now, I will agree it probably is not costing us 25 cents a copy. And I don't know who is charging 25 cents a copy. In my experience, many offices are waiving these fees generally. I'm not saying they all are. I'm not saying that's happening on all requests, but that's we can't make a profit, but we can recoup our actual costs. If the DOJ has made the determination that this is their actual costs, so be it. I don't believe that they are our actual costs, and I also don't think the DOJ took into consideration labor costs, and I have to respectfully disagree with Supervisor Rodriguez. I think you can charge some labor costs. There are limits, but I think the act of making a copy, you can factor in some aspect of labor cost for that, and that comes from an attorney general opinion. Supervisor Rodriguez is correct. He has been asking for this, and I've been trying to work with IT. This is not an easy calculation. I don't know how the state did it, and maybe it was easy for the state. We're looking at, and when I say the state, what I really mean is the Department of Justice. We're looking at one department and what they determined their costs were. We're looking at, you know, a multiple department county where we have different equipment, different contracts, trying to figure out what that would be. I don't know for sure because I wasn't around when the ordinance was adopted in 1983, but my speculation is that the reason there isn't a fee schedule in the actual existing ordinance is because it was anticipated that each office was going to figure, or department was going to figure out what their costs were, their actual costs. Now, did that happen? I don't know. Is this a worthy conversation to be having? Absolutely. Is 25 cents a copy more than an actual copy is costing? Probably. In working with IT, my understanding is that they have tried to average out our lease agreements, our costs of materials, as well as labor, and have figured out that our average actual cost per copy is probably about 10 cents.
But why wasn't this communicated to him?
This is just something that we've been trying to finalize.
Is it finalized? Is it 10 cents?
I will defer to Marty.
I think that, you know, certainly from the information that we were able to gather, it does cost us more than a penny. If we, you know, if we even look at the cost of paper, a sheet of paper is almost a penny.
Well, I don't disagree with you. Yeah.
But I would say 10 cents is a reasonable number that we can work with.
And I don't want to speak for IT, but I certainly apologize that we didn't have this. We've been trying to work it out again. It's not an easy computation to make when we're trying to figure out what we're doing. And certainly the introduction of this ordinance has pushed us to try and finalize and get an answer.
Can you defend 10 cents a copy?
Yeah.
No, you, if we get sued, not him.
No.
Will you be able to, I mean, if somebody brings lawsuit against us, like he's saying, because they feel they're getting overcharged?
Well, I'm looking at Marty because I'm going to have to rely on the work that IT has done, but based on what he's told me, yes, I believe we can.
Okay, all right. My only problem with this, I mean, if a random person comes in and wants a page, I have no problem with giving them a page, okay? Mine comes in, I think we should make sure that people who are overusing the system get charged for what our labor is and what the costs are. I mean, we're not, you know, this isn't a thing where we sit and we want to make copies all day. I mean, if somebody comes in and requests, you know, copy after copy, and they want hundreds of copies, I don't know about that. That would bother me.
Well, and if I may, I completely understand and agree with that. And had I had even any number of, we're thinking 10 cents, I hadn't had that information when I'd been asking it for it for quite some time, I would have put that forward. Bringing this forward to the committee and to the county board is maybe if they're still working, my idea at the time was if they're still working on it, let's do this for now. If we can't get a number. Now, to go with what you were saying about some people who might abuse the system, though you or I might see it as maybe a nuisance or them abusing the system, it is their constitutional right, and they have a right to these records, and they have a right, according to the state statute, not to be charged more than what that record costs. Now, if you have somebody, you know, say you have John Doe who comes in and wants one copy of one thing, and 25 cents as it stands now, it's really not the end of the world. Now, next, Jane Doe comes in and she wants 50 copies of something or 100 copies of something, that 10 cents versus 25 cents is quite the difference in cost, if that makes sense. And that's where I'm coming in, is this needs to be addressed.
Well, now that you've heard the 10 cents number, would you want to modify what this is before us?
I would, and I did talk with Mr. Cardamone today. If I had numbers, I want us to charge what our cost is. I don't think we should be taking a loss on providing these records. The state allows us to recoup that cost, and we should. I don't want us making a profit, and neither does the statute.
Okay, so knowing what you know now, do you want this amended? Do you want us to table it? I'm not going to approve your resolution knowing that the number's not right.
Exactly.
Personally, I'm not.
And I see where you're coming from. It would be my request, so that this stays prudent and you know, important to us, that if the committee feels you guys table this until IT has finalized those numbers, I would defend that if somebody asked why did they table it. Well, we need to make sure we have our costs.
Well, I'll even defer it for a month. Is a month enough time for you get a concrete number?
Isn't 10 cents a concrete number, though? Or not?
Yes. We can make a friendly amendment now.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
I don't think you want to overdo this.
But if I may,
sure.
As you guys can see on this, there are other mediums, and I want that to be across the board. I want us to charge exactly what it costs us. And part of my frustration when talking with IT and Corp Council is, you know, joint services to this. When I talked to the director of joint services, I believe he told me it took him about 3 weeks to do a cost analysis, change it, and adopt their new fees. I've kind of been chasing this for months now, and I understand, and I've conveyed that to IT and Corp Council, that it is a big undertaking. I don't disagree with that. If I had those numbers from IT and from Corp Council to say, this is our cost, I would have used them, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm. But now we do.
Now we do, right.
I certainly don't want to tell the committee how to do its job or the sponsor of the ordinance. And I don't want to speak again for IT. It actually occurred to me, I actually was commenting to Marty, as I was driving over here, I think I've been so focused on the question of the cost of a copy that it literally didn't occur to me until about 45 minutes ago when I was driving over here that there were the other aspects to this fee schedule. I don't know what our cost for a CD or a thumb drive or a flash drive might be. That's something that I think we would need to work out. My preference would be, and I certainly have no problem with a set deadline, but my preference would be to defer this for a month. I can work with IT. We can bring something back, an amendment, if you will, that will hopefully reflect our actual charges and will also be accurately formatted. One of the things we're going to have to determine is, do we create a new subsection? Do we strike the part that currently addresses fees? And again, it doesn't really. It talks about the notice that officers are supposed to have. But I think that that would probably be my preference in terms of being able to provide the committee with something that is in a completed and neat form rather than trying to do things on the fly.
So you could work with Zach this next month and clean up the language, which would need some changes here.
That would be my preference.
Yeah.
Okay. You're cool.
Would it be a good thing to do to find out what everybody else is doing? Not just Kenosha County? What does the city do? What does Joint Services do?
The problem...
What does the water department do?
You know, and Supervisor, the thing is, that's an idea that sounds logical and reasonable at first blush, and the problem is, the whole instruction from the DOJ was municipalities should review to see what their actual costs are. Our costs may not be the same as the city's.
Right.
Our costs may not be the same as the city's.
So the city might be charging 50 cents a copy, 25. We don't know what anybody else is doing. We don't care. We do.
I don't have to defend any other municipality.
That's all I'm at. I don't care. Because it would seem to me that there ought to be some kind of policy that the DOJ put in effect that everybody can understand.
If it were up to me, Supervisor, my preference would be the state legislature would review the public records law and would mandate... This is what a copy costs.
Yeah.
And it's universal. Index it for inflation or not, I don't care. That would be my preference. Mm-hmm. I just don't see anyone at the state legislature who's going to go near the public record.
I might need one copy or 10 copies, and one copy is obviously going to be, somebody's got to set it up, but 10 copies is going to cost 25 cents a copy, right? So.
But until we get that kind of statutory direction, I think all we can do is work off of what our actual costs are.
We may get this thing done.
All right, John, did you hear something?
I went through the handbook and looked at the state statutes and looked at that Wisconsin Justice Department. They caution against anything over 25 cents. They said recommends 15 cents. They also say an example, which goes back to what Joe was saying, provide for a different fee. The Register of Deeds may charge $2 for the first page and $1 for additional pages for copies of records under Wisconsin State Statute 59.432B. So that division already has a state statute we have to live with. Now we have to find out everybody else's have a state statute or not that they have to live with.
Sorry, the clerk of courts also has a statutory fee that wouldn't be impacted by this.
Courts does.
Okay, so that has to come into the mix too. So there's a little bit more work that has to be done yet. And it also goes back to what Joe said, and you said it also, but the copy fee may include a charge for the time it takes a clerical worker to copy the records on a copy machine. It's still recommended a fee not exceed 25 per page. So there is some flexibility in charging some labor.
Zach.
If I may, where it stands now, I would fully support the committee deferring this for a month to get numbers from IT to bring that forward. For Supervisor Frederick, I see where the concern is where, and I agree with Corp Council where what is the city charging, what are the villages charging? That's a good question to ask, but we're Kenosha County Board, we're not the city of Kenosha Common Council. I think it'd be something very proud for us to stand by and say, we were one of the first municipalities throughout the state to take this guidance, heed it, and we changed our fees accordingly. And if you look, Pleasant Prairie has already said that they're changing their fees. Lots of municipalities in the area have said, we're taking this guidance now that the fire has almost been set. We're going to reevaluate this and change them accordingly.
Did you have something, Mike, you wanted to add?
I saw
you.
No.
Yes? No. All right, Jeff.
I'll make a motion to defer this for a month and ask Corp Council to make sure they work with Zach and get this work together on it so that he's not in the dark on anything.
No,
and then bring that back to us in a month with some numbers that
Absolutely.
We can work with.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll put that on next month's agenda then. Nothing further. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and the committee.
Thanks for bringing that forward.
Now we have a report from IT, Marty.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and committee members.
I think just a couple of things that we would like to cover tonight. One is the discussion about a reclassification of a position that is open. And the second, and Sean is going to help cover this point, is something that we would refer to as a disruptive technology that's emerging in the markets and what it possibly means for Kenosha County, and that's 5G. So with the, as far as the position is concerned, we're currently have a IT project office manager position that's at an E12 that is vacant, and we are going to reclassify that as an infrastructure manager position at an E12. So there is no change of rating. We did take a look and had Siegel Waters take a look at the position description, and the rating came back at a comparable level. There's no impact on budget. The open position that we have that we're going to reclassify was created by a separation from the county. So this is this reclassification is going to suit our organization better. It's going to help improve and increase our bench strength as we go forward and support any type of succession plan that we have. So I just wanted to give you a quick update on that you'll maybe see that job posted, but for an infrastructure manager, it's not a net new incremental position for IT.
So we don't need to act on that?
No, you do not. So when we talk about 5G and disruptive technology, what is a disruptive technology? That's something that displaces an existing technology. It shakes up the industry, could create a new industry. It definitely has some changes. So some things, now this is probably not as significant, but electricity, for example, was a disruptive technology. Printing presses, canned beer, maybe not canned beer, but I think you get the idea that something is on the horizon with communications related to 5G that's going to make a significant difference and impact. Now, we don't exactly know what's going to happen as this rolls out and as this plays out and what the impact will be to Kenosha County, but it is something that we're going to be talking about in the future. It is going to impact some of the technology, some of the communications, and Sean, maybe have you walk us through this?
It's going to screw up all the cell phones.
Just leave it.
It will.
It will.
I'm going to have to say that.
Hi. Good evening, Supervisors. Thanks for having me. So I think Marty teed it up really well. We've got a little presentation to go through here. It's probably 34 slides or so. So settle in.
I know you're pulling my leg. Nobody brings 34 slides.
Well, and we've got demo phones for everyone to hand them out, you know, because I know Supervisor Gantz in particular.
I'm lucky I can log on to my computer.
He really hated getting rid of his flip phone.
He's
working
on his flip phone.
I put a long cord on mine.
Well, it's better than two cans and a cup.
Perfect.
You still have a rotary phone.
So we are here to talk about 5G technology and what it is going to mean for us in general. So if we could go to the next slide.
Yep. I tried using a fancy clicker, but it's not working.
It's just not going to happen today. That's okay.
I teach you to fix it.
I keep telling them next time.
So 5G, that's the acronym that's used to refer to the technology. So it indicates the fifth generation of cellular technology. So when you hear 4G, they had 3G, 4G, 5G. It doesn't mean anything else. Sometimes it can be confused with maybe people think that's the frequency it's on or something like that. It doesn't mean anything like that. It just means the fifth generation. But what's important to know about it, we're going to talk about that a little bit, but 5G is really going to impact the speeds at which all the devices that use it are transmitting at. So it's going to be fast. Minimum, we're going to see 3 times improvement. Generally speaking, you're going to see as much as 10 times faster speeds. That is pretty substantial. And the upgrade from 4G represents some pretty major changes to exactly how it does what it does, how you your phone works and how the network behind it is functioning. So if we could go to the next slide. So how will it be used? This is actually something that not everyone is really knows. When you talk about 5G, this isn't just about improving your phone. Certainly mobile is a huge part of it. So your phones, your tablets, but it's going to connect a lot of other devices. So everyone's heard the term Internet of Things at some point. I mean, even if you've only heard IoT because you can't go into Best Buy or something, your refrigerator's connected, your light bulbs in your house are connected, your outlets, Wi-Fi for your garage door opener, whatever it is, there's all of these devices that those all fall into the Internet of Things. But other technologies that it's really going to change are something like a driverless car. So some of the challenges with the driverless car is the speed at which it can communicate, and as the speeds improve, it's going to make that type of technology more capable and more realistic within the environment. But something not to lose sight of is the stationary applications of 5G. So everyone knows you get a phone. Some of you may use like a Wi-Fi hotspot when you're traveling or something like that to connect your laptop to it, that type of thing. This is going to impact connecting your home. So right now, you don't really use a 4G device for your home if you're doing any kind of streaming. You use Netflix, YouTube, anything of that nature. It's not the right device for most people. There's bandwidth limitations. It's not as fast as a home wireless connection can be. And 5G, the speeds at which it's going to be operating, it's going to change that. You're going to see new competition in delivering home internet. It's going to change who can get it. So since it's wireless, you're going to start to see it able to deliver to areas you couldn't get it to. So in the very rural areas where cable company just doesn't want to pull cable that last mile or whatever it is, you're going to be able to deliver that wirelessly. There are other technologies, satellite's something you hear a lot about. There's other wireless technologies out there, and they're very good at what they do, but the speeds that 5G is going to offer are going to be competitive or better than what your cable or DSL provider can give you right now. But other areas other than just your home, you've got an oil pipeline. This is one that you might hear about, and there's sensors all along it to detect leaks, anything of that nature. And you put these kind of devices on there, and now you go from being able to just have a sensor that sends you an alert that something has happened. You can put a camera there to identify. You can look and see what's actually happening because it's got the bandwidth and the speed capability to deliver that. So 5G has so many applications, and it's, as Marty said, it's disruptive. It's going to change the way wireless connectivity is delivered and what you can do with it. Can we go to the next slide?
I got a question. They're going to do 5G countywide, statewide, nationwide, or?
Well, I'll talk a little bit about that. With any technology, you've got a lot of concerns, and this is actually something that comes up with 5G a lot. So one of the advantages 5G offers is it's called low latency. So what latency means is how long it takes the data that you're trying to transfer from your device to the network. So how fast can that picture really get from your phone to Instagram? It's not just about the speed, it's about how fast it can communicate with the network itself. And the reason that's important are applications like driverless cars. So if you have a high latency, what that means is the data transfer is very fast, but it's still sort of delayed. So what you're looking at in a car, that a car might be showing you, is delayed. Video applications are one of the more common places that the latency becomes a big deal. In order to deliver that and make that so possible, this is where one of the concerns comes up, they're going to be installing antennas all over the place. So if you've already heard about this, then, you know, good. But if you haven't, what it really means is there's going to be thousands of antennas installed in order to make 5G the full-blown network that they expect it to be. You're going to have an antenna every 100 or 200 feet instead of you've got one on a tower, you know, at any of the towers, the cell towers you might see. That's not enough. In order to make 5G be all they're touting it to be, you're going to have it on every other street light or at every corner. Because
who maintains calling?
It's the phone companies, it's the carriers, it's up to them.
Right.
Now, what you get is
am I going to be able to afford the bill?
You are, because what you put on a cell tower is called a large cell. Those are huge devices. What you're going to see go on to these light poles is not going to be these big, huge antennas. They're going to be very small, compact. So you're going to see those type of devices coming out. And interesting, there's already application and changes happening in how the antennas are being developed. So one of the things that I was reading about on this, for extending your network, they actually have antennas. Looks like a piece of tape with circuits in it. And you just put that on a wall, and that is going to help you extend into buildings. Have any of you ever gone over to the public safety building and tried to use a cell phone? Supervisor Gantz, I know, has. It's not easy. As soon as you get past the foyer in the public safety building, your phone goes dead. And when you're able to take something as small as a piece of tape and use a technology designed for that type of communications, it's going to make a big difference. So it's going to really change how this happens. Some of the other challenges that you're going to see: security. There are so many more devices. There's so much more security that's needed. It's physical security, it's cyber security. All of this is going to have a big impact. Security is always a big deal. It's only going to grow. We talked about the number of devices, but with the increased number, there's a lot of concerns about the aesthetics. So you're going to see municipalities, government organizations are going to be resistant to this. They might not want to adopt it because they don't want to harm the aesthetics of the area that they've developed. So the FCC has already started making some inroads on that, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But the aesthetics are going to be a big deal. People are going to, I don't know if you've fielded many calls on it, but sometimes people notice antennas and they start calling and they're asking. I remember when we were building the new tower on 60th Street, you wouldn't believe the number of phone calls. There's not even power at the tower. And we've got people calling us and telling us about how we're messing up their ham radios, we're messing up their TV, you know, whatever it is. There's nothing happening there. It's just a big tower at this point. And so you do get a lot of concern and complaints about that type of activity. Another concern that some communities are concerned about: the radiation. You're going to have these devices everywhere, and people are concerned about radiation. In early January, there was a story about Greendale, Wisconsin, that there are a lot of citizen concerns over 5G. 5G is going to give us cancer, you know, whatever the case is. It was generated because they started seeing orange cones go up throughout the community. All those orange cones meant were they're marking where fiber was being delivered. It had nothing to do with antennas yet or anything like that. So there's always concern. People don't necessarily have all the information, and it's going to be important that we're able to respond and provide the right information. So the 5G concerns, some of them are very real. There's studies on this radiation. I read a lot of different articles on that, and some say yes, you should be worried, and some say there's nothing to worry about. So like
who's
most
right?
Things, it depends on who writes the report.
Who's right?
I
just being paid to say that. I had nothing to worry about until you start making this presentation. I was just happy.
You're not going to be able to sleep tonight, Rob.
Well, I can have to worry as long as some of you young people are.
Cause cancer on balls, too.
Can we go to the next slide, please? The next slide, please. Thank you.
Sorry for the interruption, but
that's great.
We always worry about you, Rob.
What else do we need to be thinking about with 5G? Like I said, Marty mentioned this already. It's a disruptive technology. It's going to change other technologies. It's going to change the way other technologies can be developed. There's riderless cars out there, or driverless cars out there now, but when you see something like 5G and how it's going to improve and increase connectivity, it's going to change what they can do. One thing that was a pretty common thought is a technology like this offers a strategic advantage for anyone who's the early adopter. You never want to be the one being told what to do. So on the international stage, the ability to drive how technology is developed in 5G is critical. So it is absolutely considered, at the national level, it's considered a strategic advantage. You don't want any other country to be the one making all the decisions. The U.S. was absolutely one of the leaders in 4G, and it made a huge difference in our ability to stay on top of that technology and be a leader within it. And it's going to similarly be the same with 5G. Something else to consider is, the FCC. They recognize the strategic advantage, and their program is called the FAST Plan, which is really designed to remove roadblocks to placing the antennas. So they're developing guidance to help speed up state and local review of small cells, to help the federal reviews go faster. They're going to put in guidance that states you're not allowed to take more than this amount of time to review anything and to approve it. They're trying to remove the roadblocks that frequently get put up so that this can be delivered. And it is a... When we were working with the city on some things, I went and I sat at the Public Works Committee with them, and I had the opportunity to see them talk to a cell phone, someone who they mount antennas for cell phone carriers. This person had already been there a couple of other times, and because they didn't have a cardboard representation of the antenna that they were going to put up, that they had at the prior meeting, they were then asked to wait another 3 months. The vendor clearly stated they could be back at the next meeting in 2 weeks or whatever it was, but they still put it off for 3 months. These are the kind of roadblocks that the FCC is trying to remove, so that you're not going to see that. If we're going to be competitive in this arena, you have to be able to move quickly on this stuff. Some of the early deployments, they may only get 10 to 20% speed increase over what you have now. 5G does rely on being able to install all these antennas, so as they start to roll it out, you may only have a couple of the large cell antennas that are around and you haven't got the small cells yet. If that happens, you might not see the full improvement until it continues to ramp up.
Having dealt with this mess before, is there a time frame? I mean, if you say to the phone company, yeah, go ahead and do it, well, they're going to do it at their convenience. We did, when we put in TV, we started in Racine. Milwaukee opened up, we dropped Racine like it was a snake and went up and did Milwaukee.
Yes.
I mean, that's something.
And I don't think this is going to be any different. The more urban and heavily populated the area, the more likely they're going where the money is. So there's only so much we're going to be able to do about that. However, If you are an early adopter and you're making the inroads to make it easier for the carriers.
They did that to AT&T. You're coming into Kenosha, we want 5G, you got 1 year. Can you do it?
Right, you might give that advantage to Verizon or whoever else it is. And on that note, I think it was just last month. Within the last month, the city of Racine is working on passing an ordinance that sets the framework for what it takes to get the 5G installed. They've got a desire to see 5G become a reality within the year. Now, there is no additional information on if they've made any agreements with carriers or anything like that. They're just starting with getting the ordinance passed that states this is what the expectation is for mounting the small cell devices.
So we don't pass anything the city does? Is that what you're saying?
As far as I know so far, it would be the cities, anywhere that we would have, you know, it would be our right to grant, and certainly someone from Public Works would be able to answer
that. Utility companies with their poles.
Do we have to give easements out to each one of these little antennas?
Poles are public property.
Okay.
Was our watch?
It was going to be here a lot.
Telephone poles are public property. Basically, that's how you end up with cable TV, phones, everybody on it because it's considered a public.
But who pays for putting them up?
Phone company or Wisconsin.
You do. You pay for everything.
Eventually, yeah.
You pay your bill, so you're paying to get it put up. But I mean, the phone companies, they're the ones. They're anxious to see this happen. Okay. I mean, if you consider if they were able to put something out on the west end, if there was an antenna that offered line of sight on the west side of the county and they're able to deliver internet service, something, it offers those opportunities.
Is that 5G coming?
It's the little orange button.
Yeah, the problem with getting a flip phone open right there. Oh,
okay.
Is it flip? No.
We've got three, got four, five. Flip, are we getting ready for
six? I thought I had to buy the beer.
To my knowledge, there's six is still a long ways away.
Yeah, so was five.
Well, 4G has been really, it's been... 4G's been around a lot longer than 2 years. When they first started, now, how long was it in Kenosha? I don't know that number for sure, but 4G's been around for 6-7 years, where it's been at least where it's been in areas. But 5G, the investment that it's going to take to make that happen is, I don't think it's something that they'll be in a hurry to go to the next standard unless it's interoperable in some way.
I haven't caught up with everything else yet that's going on with my phone, so I hope they don't go too fast.
I think that the opportunity is going to exist on how Kenosha County can leverage and use this technology. So, you know, if Sean mentioned Internet of Things, and, you know, the more information you get back, the better you understand, the better you can manage. You know, if you can think of Public Works, and, you know, when 5G is a reality, the amount of information that a plow truck or a road crew could send back, analyze statistics and information, and learn from that, better manage the process, or map areas that they have covered, and so there's real-time information that's being displayed as far as where they need to go. So, you know, I think the opportunities are kind of endless as far as how we can use this technology. And, you know, it really will take a lot of third parties now saying, okay, I'm going to develop something that uses 5G as the backbone or the infrastructure that it's going to allow, you know, driverless golf carts, you know, and that's going to be the next thing. So, so that's, I think that's our opportunity here as we talk about this, that as a committee, I think you'll be seeing more ideas being presented that are going to utilize this technology as a backbone that will help automate things or do things a little differently in the future.
Can we go to the last slide, please? So, to summarize it, I think the most important part to keep in mind, this is a disruptive technology. It's going to change things, and just like Marty talked about, new opportunities, and they're boundless with what you can do here. Speeds are going to be faster, latency is going to be lower. Those are important for delivering so many of the upcoming services, video service. And something I think it's really, and it goes to exactly what Marty was mentioning, 5G is coming no matter what. It's going to be here. But if we view it as a competitive advantage, there are opportunities with it. So we are challenged. When you go west of the eye, we're challenged with internet connectivity, high-speed bandwidth in a lot of areas. And 5G makes it possible to get that to areas. And if we're able to facilitate or enhance that, it opens up opportunities for business development. But more than that, if you know, even in the city, if you have 5G, it attracts young professionals. The reality is the incoming workforce, everyone's very connected. The ability to be that connected and know that your device, if you've got to make a choice of living in one place or another, 5G, internet connectivity, that is going to be a consideration for people when they're looking for a place to live. That is a reality. So if you're going to move out west of the eye and the best you can get is a 10 meg upload and you just move a little closer and all of a sudden you've got 100 meg, it might make the decision for you. So I think it should be viewed as a competitive advantage if we have opportunities.
But the reason they don't expand out there is because it's not cost effective.
Right.
Well, that's not the way the phone company was set up. Phone company was set up that if this guy is 5 miles down the road, he's entitled to a phone, and we're going to give it to him, we're going to charge him the same thing we charge you. Now, if you want to do that with this, I think that's great. But if you let them go with their own dime, yeah, you're not going to see that.
No, I mean, the advantage is in helping them deliver the services for us.
Sean, will this require purchase of things that we haven't done before or increased costs, or is this just substitution of A for B?
For us, I don't think there would be any cost to us. It would only be, we might see revenue from it if we have a tower that they're able to take advantage of and put equipment on. We might have an opportunity for revenue there. And as of right now, there's nothing that would be a cost to the county.
Is there something we need to do this year, next year, the following year in terms of legislation?
I think there's always opportunity for review. I think the question earlier about is there anything that we own that people would be putting it on? I mean, we do have towers that the county owns. We've got two new towers that are going to be built. In particular, the one out in Silver Lake is going to be a very high tower. It's being built on a hill, and it's a tall tower. That's in an area where you have great opportunity to reach a large number of people with delivering it to their home. That might be an opportunity. It might be worth having the conversations with the carriers. Hey, we have this and we can help provide this to you. And we could help to direct. We want to see you doing this. We want to see you delivering this to the residents of the area. We want to see you. It was 2 or 3 years ago, Marty and I went out, and there wasn't much we could do, but we talked to the superintendent of Central, and that was what he was talking about, is how do I get these students that have no real shot at internet connectivity? Is there anything that we could do? And realistically, there wasn't anything that we could do at that time. The technology wasn't there for us to facilitate. With 5G, this might be something we could facilitate.
Jeff. So, first of all, I want to thank you on your presentation. This was like 5G for dummies, i.e. me. I actually understood what you were saying. Usually I need an interpreter. But to hammer down on Terry's question, we really shouldn't be doing anything. You're just informing us of what's coming, right?
Right now we are. Right.
Okay. I just want to make it crystal clear. You know, I understand what you're saying, but is there anything we need to be doing? And you're saying no.
Not yet.
Okay.
So do any communities have this yet, or is it starting anywhere?
There are communities, but it's large.
We don't want Racine to get ahead of us, just for the record. So if we need to do something, we need to do it before they do it.
Terrific.
John. How does this interact with our fiber optic that we invested in?
That's actually a terrific question, because when we built out the fiber, for 5G to run, all of these devices, so you've got 100 of them in this area, they still have to go back to a tower that's connected to fiber. And when we ran fiber all the way out onto the West End, that is going to open up. If they build their own tower, we've got fiber that's out there, and now it's going to already have been done. They don't have to pay the cost of pulling fiber all the way out there. And that type of decision that we made, that was huge for business development. That provides, now, how well we or our partner in that, Midwest Fiber, has advertised that, I don't know that we've done as good as we could have there, but it absolutely has a huge impact, because now you've got fiber connectivity out there. They're not going to have to pay someone to pull it. When we installed our fiber, you know, they install this huge thing of fiber. It's got, I don't know, do you remember how many are in the sheath?
192
pairs are in the sheath, and we use 12. We have 12 of them. All the rest are the carriers to sell.
I'm going to ask a stupid question.
So maybe Supervisor, that the infrastructure that we've put in place in Kenosha County may be an enabler to cause a quicker adoption of 5G. That they don't have to go pull fiber to all these different locations to get back to the central location. That infrastructure already exists. So that's, you know, that could help us to...
Maybe we want to let them know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a question. I have internet, I have spectrum, right? So I get, so if I live in Silver Lake, what do I have out there?
Silver Lake, I don't know for sure.
Some places don't have internet.
We have spectrum. Out west of the eye, we have spectrum. That is all we have. We do not have AT&T as an option. What I was going to ask, if I might, is will this create competition in internet? Because that would be wonderful.
I'm absolutely not internet. I don't think anything of it, AT&T,
when I worked there, we weren't allowed to go out.
Oh, okay.
You know, you had your phone company, we had our phone company, there was rules of the road.
That's changing.
So how do you get spectrum out there?
Cable.
There's cable out there.
Yeah.
But that's going by the wayside.
Well, it's just like you talked about with the phone company. I mean, AT&T paid to pull all the cable out there. So just like you don't have someone else using the spectrum cable. There are other areas where they've forced competition. I've got a friend who lives down in Naperville. And I know that down there, it was AT&T or someone, and Wide Open West, something. But they're all using the same infrastructure. It was just a matter of who sold it. And you would absolutely expect to see competition, because when you put something up on a tower, so out at Silver Lake, I don't know where you live out there, Patty, but the tower, it's going to have a great opportunity to have line of sight, because that Silver Lake Beach up on that big hill in the southeast end there, that's where the tower's going. And
so what do you have to pay a month for your service?
Oh, boy.
No, I can ask you that question, because I paid $35.
Oh, and ours is higher than that. But I don't...
Is it because of competition, right?
So the
more they can charge you, they'll charge you more, right?
Probably.
I mean, mine was like $25 a year ago, and I was... I didn't realize that people didn't have it, because I have it.
There are our, and I think Marty's probably more familiar with it, coverage through the west side, there are areas that have no real options.
What is Hughes? What is Hughes? There's a separate government.
That's the HughesNet, that's the satellite provider.
Yeah.
So a good example of when we talked about latency, that's the biggest problem with something like HughesNet. So while this board may not be huge gamers, certainly I enjoy playing computer games, and if you play that on a satellite, you've lost already. Just because the time when everyone else says do this, theirs has killed your guy and done all their stuff.
I hear my kids playing it all the time.
What's it lagging for? What's it? I don't know what the hell it's lagging for. Right. But video, those type of things. So if you want to have a video conference, it doesn't really work well.
Yeah, obviously.
There is nothing out there faster than fiber. 5G is not faster than fiber.
Correct.
If at one time the goal was to bring fiber to everybody's house, because there was absolutely nothing you couldn't do. I mean, everything would be almost real time, because there's no slowing it down. I mean, you go in it, you go around it. It's all kinds of things.
The old days were so simple.
Yeah, just a copper wire.
Dial phone, you know.
Yeah.
The fiber optic that we have, does joint services utilize that a lot?
Yes.
So they're really up to speed in a lot of respects. But that would be one of the first areas you might look at to enhance it.
Yes.
If you were going forward ever, you know.
All right, if there's nothing further, thank you for coming to the committee. I asked them to come this evening and talk about 5G. I thought it was important for us to know something about it, because it's coming fast. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
It sure isn't coming slow, Terry. It's coming fast.
It's coming at 5G speed.
I can't wait for 6.
It always improves, so thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe.
All right, we'll move on then to the tax deed properties. Mary?
Thanks. Hi, Mary. Hi, guys. Advisors, good evening.
All right.
Have you missed me?
Oh, you were yawning so much over there, I thought you were going to take a nap.
I know. I was like, oh, my gosh, April? And I said April today. I said, why'd you put me in the agenda?
April.
Oh, it'll go quick, she says. We spend more time with the husband.
It is pretty
mine's going to be pretty short and sweet tonight, because there's a lot of complicated properties here. We are planning on having an auction. The second week of April will be when the bids come in, and then April 15th will be when the bids are open. I believe it's the 15th, and then hopefully they won't have a whole lot left to work with for a while.
Good.
So first on the agenda is a parcel out on 97th Street in the village of Salem Lakes. Although it has a pretty high assessed value if you look at it, it's 100% flood fringe. So it can't be buildable. There's nothing that they can really do with it. It's recommended that it be sold to the abutting property owner. And we're not sure if they'll even want it. So we're trying to get $6,200, which is really a balance of what's due.
They won't take it.
So it has no.
Well,
value
it can only go. No, it can't be built on, and it can only be really sold to the one abutting property owner, because the other abutting property owner is the one we took it from.
If I was abutting property owner,
so we can't offer
$2
it.
For it.
Why
right.
would you buy it?
Well, he let it go.
For one, there's only one buyer.
It can only be. Yeah.
Isn't $6,200?
Well, he might. He owns the property on the other side of him, so he may just see the value in having the extra land. So we thought we would try at least with what's owed to the county, and if not, we can lower it and come back. It's only land, so we're not maintaining it or taking care of it or doing anything with it.
Move $6,200.
Second.
We're not mowing it or anything?
Nope, it's on the county.
Oh.
We don't do anything out of the county.
It's just wild.
Unless we get a complaint.
I wonder why they don't have internet.
It's good for
I got a couple of billy goats.
There you go.
All right, discussion on this.
Forest.
Geez, I would like to just say, hey, offer it to the neighbor or whatever they'll pay. Yeah. But I know we can't do that, but I mean, I mean, 6,200, what, you know, what...
But if you look at the value of the land, it is $46,200.
There's, I look at the value of the land as zero.
Right. Zero.
But let's face it, he could sell that property for more because he owns that land. Okay, he's got a bigger property to sell, right? So he's gaining something too, right?
You would think so, but...
The next guy buying...
Let's give it a try.
Let's give it a try.
All right, any other discussion? All those in favor say 6,200.
Did you think governance vote?
You for that?
He did.
I heard it too.
They're very logical and fast.
I watched for a lip.
Lip movement.
All right.
Next property is also in the Village of Salem Lakes. It's 90% DNR wetland inventory. We could retain it or sell it to an abutting property owner. Planning development said, you know, go ahead and offer it to the abutting property owner. We were going to put that one at $500.
Love you.
That's what the last one should be.
Well, the
second.
The value.
Value is a little bit more.
This one's underwater.
All right, what's your pleasure?
500 and rubber boots.
Somebody
second. I was there. All those in favor? Any discussion?
Aye.
It has a swimming pool
on it. Yeah, I mean, you get rubber boots with it, too.
Just like Russian.
All right, next.
All right, the next property is also in the Village of Salem Lakes. Total amount owed to the county is $14,951.63. This can be sold as a single-family residential lot. There was a house on it. It was raised in 2016, so it has high village specials of almost $29,000. So we're thinking that we could just put it up for what is owed to the county because the assessed value is only $39,000.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there water and sewer there or what?
Well, there was a house there at one time. It was raised in 2016.
No, but
so
I mean,
there has to be,
the
yeah,
there
has to be
well
something
or?
There.
Is there a sewer that
no,
in that?
It's
in
hard
that
to tell.
Too?
Oh, yeah, there's houses right next door to it,
okay,
right?
Okay, so then.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And, and because there was a house there already, there's
you
access.
You might get more bids.
I move to approve.
Second.
15.
Prove what?
15, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Excuse me.
All right.
I'm looking at it. I didn't say it. I apologize.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Jeff wants to do 14,999.
I do. See, you're learning. That's excellent.
Okay, let's go on here.
What's next?
The next property is also in the Village of Salem Lakes. Total taxes due to the county, $21,862. Assessed value is $40,000. It's in the Velmar subdivision. It fringes on the floodplain. It's not real desirable subdivision. So we're trying to get $15,000, which is less.
The whole thing in yellow?
The whole thing in yellow there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it can be partially built
on.
Yeah,
pull them in the front yard when it rains.
So the blue's underwater.
The blue is when there's flooding.
Where do you put your
yeah. You went out there?
Yeah.
Well, the fish or?
Well, you get a pair of rubber boots if you win the bid.
They can put the house on it. So what are they all sitting on? What is it?
Well, the total taxes are almost $22,000.
We've
thought 15 as a suggested starting price.
It's underwater.
It's still
Lakeview.
So they can
Lakefront.
That part that's in the floodplain or something, but they could build a house
over there. You could put the tent on this side of the property.
Well, there's not even a road there. What are you talking about?
Yeah, there is.
It could be three stories high.
Yeah, up there with a little piece, not down there at the bottom.
All right, what is your decision?
I vote 15.
Second.
That never should have been built out in the first place.
Discussion on 15. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next property is also in the Village of Salem Lakes. This one is a fairly large piece of property, but it's zoned B3 for business. The Cowmark Cafe is right next door, and it really pretty much can only be sold to them because they own the property around it. And we're not sure if they would even want to buy it, but it's a little over 6,000 in taxes. The assessed value is $21,000. We thought we would just offer it to them for $2,000 and see if they'd be interested in expanding their property.
So what about that side of it? No,
there isn't anything in between there up until further down.
I see a building to whatever at the end there.
What it's in between there?
Planning and development had suggested it only be sold to because of its own business, and that's a business. They'd have to change zoning and if it was residential.
The other one's residential.
Right.
I'll move the 2,000.
Second.
All right, discussion? None? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes?
Yeah, we got to get rid of this stuff.
Are the balance are free?
Okay, these are, we didn't put a price on them.
Well, wide open.
They're wide open, right. They're just to clean up our maps. And what happened is a lot of times when they drew the maps and they drew the subdivisions and they did all this stuff, they let all these little pieces of land all over the place. So they had to give them a parcel number. So we have all these little parcels sitting around. If you look, this one is only, how big is this one? 50 feet by, I'm not even sure how big this one is. Assessed value is only $100.
Well, there it is, a little, big garden.
It's just,
a little pick.
What's it cost to give it to them?
Well, the last time what we did was we offered them to budding property owners for $100. And we got it, but I mean, this isn't even worth $100.
No.
You know what I mean? So, but we have to sell it for something.
All right, like there
dollar?
You go.
Yeah.
We
can
sell it for a dollar to the property owner.
Give them a buck.
And then we would combine it with their parcel.
Give them a dollar. I'll give them a dollar. Hey, I'll give it to you right now.
Just give it to them. Get that sliver off the books.
Not anything quite this small.
We got better things to do than slivers. I mean, come on.
But we had some in the city that were like 2 feet wide by as wide long as the property.
Who did this?
Yeah.
The only person that has any
needs.
Right, and we would just, what we would do is we would send a letter saying, can we combine this little sliver with your parcel?
Okay, so I'm clear. We have to charge.
There's a $30 recording fee.
Oh, there. Whoa.
We could pay.
Wait a minute.
Can you waive that?
The county, could pay the recording fee, the $30 recording fee. But we still have to sell it to them for at least a minimum of $1 in the auction.
And just eat the recording fee. I'll second that.
So your motion is to
sell for a buck.
$1 and waive the recording.
And wave. Let's wave at it.
Who drew these maps?
These are way, way long time ago.
Had to have been a city, people.
Before maps were popular.
All right. There's a motion. I believe it was second, Jeff. Was there discussion here? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes.
Wow.
Are we doing them all the same? The whole group? They're all.
Well, they're all the same. They're all the same. Some are.
This one's a little bigger here. you can put
a
good sized garden there. No, but it's a grape garden. You can make wine.
This is off of KR.
Oh, KR.
It's 23rd Avenue.
It's on
23rd. It says
20 by 128. Yes. Oh, there's a sign. It's
20 by 128.
So it is the length of the parcel, but then it's just a little tiny piece that when they drew up the plan for these subdivisions, they just kind of didn't go all the way to the end. They made the parcels each a certain time size, and this is what was left over, and they just left them.
So
we have all these little pieces.
Recording fee, I suggest.
They're probably maintaining it. They probably have shrubs on it.
$100 to the owner right next door. At least we'll get the recording fee covered.
$100 including
waive it. You mean the waive the recording fee?
No, we'll just say $30.
Just keep it in there. Yeah, just say $100 and.
It has. It does have a value of $2,400. Well, taxes owed are $253.84.
Owed on it.
But sweet still. It's
that's cool. A sweet spot there.
Got a lot of guts taxing that. Wow. Just saying.
So what's the motion?
Charge $100.
That's
second.
Yeah, it's
a hard.
Is that with the recording or without?
$250.
We gotta pay it because that's 200. How much is owed on it tax wise?
$253.
We're gonna still take a little bit in the shorts there.
Yeah, but we'll sell other properties for way
back. All right, that's what I moved. And the fee.
$100 and the fee we're charging?
Yeah, because it's worth it.
Just leave the fee on that one.
Leave the fee.
Recording fee.
All right.
In most cases, they do.
And we can make up the three other fees.
That's what I'm hoping to do there.
Yeah.
All right, what's the
this next? This one is in the Village of Summers.
Oh. Take a good look here.
Mound owed to the county is $84. The value assessed total.
Wait a minute. Is it the yellow line? Are you kidding me?
What is that, a line? Six inches by 100 feet?
Yeah.
I can make one row of beets.
You got to be kidding me.
A row of beets on that thing.
But it has a parcel number on it.
Oh, it's a map maker at a party? What is this?
It's another dollar one.
It's
point. It's a dollar and wave the fees again.
Yeah. It's not even a foot wide.
I
grow bigger vegetables than that.
Oh my God.
9.93.
Who does this?
Old garbage.
All right, move a dollar and we'll pay the recording.
Yeah, we'll pay it.
0.93.
Yeah, we'll pay it.
Good Lord.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, a line on a map.
Like, you do this for entertainment value.
Yeah, I told you to do that on your own.
It's not even a foot. You can't even put a foot on it.
My foot would just cross over to property, be on the abutting owners on both sides.
Hey, I could buy that property. You ain't crossing.
I know.
All right, what's next?
Clerk doesn't have the clerk.
All right, then take a vote on
it. Okay, all those in favor.
Aye. A lot of ayes.
Good Lord.
What's the next?
Sorry.
There's another line.
This one is in the village of Twin Lakes. Taxes owed.
Look at
this. There is no assessed value.
There can't be.
All
right.
Hopefully they'll take
it. Okay,
can we look at the map?
An eraser. I'll erase it off.
Two adjoining properties?
There is.
So
can we get offered to either one?
Whoever gives us the dollar first, waive the fees, is my...
Both a letter and
I would move...
It's the auction.
I would move a dollar...
Then we need to watch an auction. We have to put it up for auction by state statute. We can't just call people and say, hey, you want to buy it?
More time in recording all
this. We could leak it that it's going to be
up for auction. I'll make the motion to sell it for a dollar. Okay. Waive the fee is my motion.
Second.
Discussion?
Ridiculous.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. I can make maybe two rolls of beets on there. Other than that,
only at this end, not at that end.
I know. It narrows out. I'm done.
All right. Is that it?
Right. Oh, how nice.
And then we'll move on to the reports of administration. Are there any?
Okay. General fund report?
All right.
Yeah. Let's sit around for a while.
Which one? That was pretty funny, Mary. That was good.
Oh, my God. You break the mood after all that.
Yeah. It's good following IT. That picks up with the mood.
All right.
Everybody should have a general fund year-end forecast.
You got extra one?
We do every month.
I do.
There you go. You got one right here.
Okay, this will be the second last report before next month's year-end closeout. If you look at the boxes in the bottom, from February to March, we went down a little more than 200,000, taking the percentage down from 32.5 to 32.14. The material movers in the positive were some of the miscellaneous, some of the smaller things that add up to the miscellaneous amount were starting to get cleared up, so that added 225. The sales tax popped up. We had a really good December, a record December for 218,000, and the tax delinquencies keep on rolling, added another 153,000 to just short of 3 million. Fortunately, we had some items that caused projected decrease to the general fund, including a worsening of our health insurance deficit from 650 to 885. In total, that 885 deficit can be attributed to basically one factor. Our prescription drugs historically have gone up 2-3%. This year they went up 25%. Which was $750,000.
Due to drug companies increasing costs, right?
Now,
or you got more claims?
We got more claims, and the costs were up. We had a number of high dollar prescriptions that were filled. To combat that, we have a new pharmacy benefit manager, Serview, introduced this year, and it's only 2 months in, but we're seeing a reduction already from that.
I've got a question, Terry.
Yes.
So, talk about the sheriff personnel other up in that above the health insurance, please.
Yep, I'll be talking about that too. That's next.
Please. Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
You're good. Netting out between the increase in the personnel and other expenses versus a slight increase in the federal inmate,
went down about 360 altogether. So in total, the sheriff's department is looking at a $450,000 to $500,000 deficit overall. A majority of that having to do with the inmate medical and pharmacy drugs there. So it's a common theme there.
Nothing with overtime, though?
Overtime is also a part of that as well.
So those deficits, pharmacy, medical, is that because of the federal prisoners or the non-federal, or you don't know?
Well, I don't know specifically. We had a good number of federal inmates. We're only allowed to charge that same amount at $70 right. per day. So some of these costs, as they go up, the profit that we make on it,
we have no idea what the cost of medical is for those federal inmates,
right.
And they won't give us a dime more.
Right.
Somebody may ought to look at that. Maybe we're not making as much money as they say we're making.
Well,
I think we're making plenty.
We've gone multiple times, and it's a lot of effort to put together the costs of the inmates to show them that $70 is not cutting it, and they still keep it at 70. So.
Did we adjust the budget this year for higher costs in those areas?
We did.
Good.
We did. And the last one I'd like to bring your attention to is a liability insurance deficit. That popped up from $400,000 to $694,000. Now, $694,000 is a big number there, but it's basically having to do with three different things. Our incurred but not recorded, which is an actuarially determined figure that we get, having to do with the estimated costs going out into the future. That jumped $336,000 this year. That's the largest increase that I went back 10 years and I couldn't find anything that large. That's attributed to claims that are in the pipeline going forward. In addition to that, we had that $175,000 payout having to do with the inmate that was paralyzed as part of that settlement. And then lastly, our parent company that we're part owners of, WIMIC, just overall in general, the last 2 years, they've had poor claim years. So we don't get as much back in capital and operating dividends. So that hurt us there. So between those three, that's what got us in that. But overall, we're still healthily adding $2.14 million to the general fund.
Good for sales tax.
Yeah, sales tax.
And delinquent taxes.
And delinquent taxes, yeah, that's right.
Question, yeah, just curious, where it says amount over 17% minimum?
Yes.
10 million, whatever. What would that percentage be when you include that? Is it in there and I'm missing it?
Down at the bottom?
30.4.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
It's included, but it just shows that over the 17, that's what
gotcha.
That 10 million.
Okay, yep. Thanks.
Because 17% is our minimum.
Okay. John?
When you get a report from the Sheriff's Department on overtime, do they break out the downtown jail and the correctional? Is there an uptick in the downtown jail overtime? And I haven't looked at the personnel either, but I think there's some issues.
Clara reported it last month that with the change to the 12-hour shifts, there's been a decrease in overtime. So I've been monitoring that now, and that has held true. It did tick up a little bit with the payroll, the last payroll, but not to the level that it's been in prior years. So the switch to 12-hour shifts does seem to have lowered the overtime cost for correctional and DSOs. Both are down. So down here and out at KCDC.
Okay, but the personnel is, my understanding, are quitting faster, downtown particularly.
I've not been monitoring the vacancies. I don't know
if I'll have to talk to her about it or something. I'd like to get a report on that.
The jail guards, you mean?
From the jail here, yeah.
Quickly?
Yeah, that they're, because of the overtime, they're losing a lot of employees.
Ashley might.
If I may, Claire's not here this evening, obviously, but she is prepared to provide a report next month at the FAPP meeting in regards to the staffing, in regards to the overtime. Next month, we would have the both January and February numbers of overtime that she can provide to the committee. Unless you'd like to wait for the Q1, she was planning on providing quarter one comparisons from last year to this year in May.
Let's put on next month's agenda.
Next month.
I think his point is well taken.
Okay.
How many vacancies are there?
I don't know the number off the top of my head.
All right, why don't you have that information at the next meeting?
But John, what are you're hearing they're leaving because they're not getting the money they used to get, or because they don't like the 12-hour shift?
Well, partly the 12-hour shifts, and they're losing some, they have no opportunity to have time off, a vacation, things like that. I'm just hearing it from...
I thought they were going to have more time off.
What I'm hearing is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah, bro,
and it's,
you're right.
There's three sides to the story.
Sure.
You know, there's this side, that side, and the truth.
Sure.
What I don't know. So I'm just trying to...
Yeah, what's the sample size that you hear from two people? Or
you know, like going to court, you know, there's always...
Going to court.
Well, there's every side and every other side.
Yeah. You try to get out, but they bring you back in, there.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
Do we know the number that the Sheriff's Department pays in overtime at the end of each year? That they paid for that year? Yeah.
Yep.
How much?
Yep.
We know how much?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you just remind, if you want to give just a little thing on a piece of paper of the last, you know, 10 years of what the overtime numbers have been, just to see if we've made any headway in the time I've been a supervisor and complaining about it, see if it's gone down at all.
Are you talking overall, including deputies and detectives, or are you just looking for corrections and DSOs?
I guess overtime in the Sheriff's Department, because we've got to pay for it no matter where it comes from.
Right.
Just what they are at the end of the year, just to see what the comparison is year to year.
At next month's meeting, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And are you looking dollars or are you looking hours?
Dollars.
Okay.
Or both, if it's easy for
just
you.
Because,
otherwise, I care about
dollars.
Just
because over a 10-year period, wages have
is
changed.
Is it easy enough to do?
So are you comparing, you know, you're comparing what people
I don't want to do that. I just want a rough overdraft. I don't need you to do a deep dive at this point.
Well, hours would tell you what the overtime, rather than wages.
Right. He's got a snorkel on today with a deep dive.
All right. Anything else?
Salaries don't
drop.
All right, any other business to come before the committee?
Just wanted, as Barna referred to, next month, we will have the year-end closeout for 2018.
Mm. All right. Any other business? There's a motion, a second, Jeff. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
So you said somebody resigned.